You are listening to a sermon by Janet Bolt, recorded on Sunday, March 7th, 2021, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for welcoming me to speak again. Human beings are interesting creatures. We need clear rules. We want to know what we can do and what we cannot do. Yet if rules are too clearly laid out, we protest and resist. If rules are too vague and ambiguous, then we want to know, but what are you saying? Would this be wrong? So we are essentially creatures who say, just tell me what to do. Not that I'll do it necessarily, but I at least want to know. And I know we don't have to look very far to see this human condition. Just ask Dr. Bonnie Henry. The Exodus 20 passage in today's Lenten readings, I believe, is meant for this human condition. The commands of what can be done and what cannot be done are clearly laid out for a group of wandering pilgrims following a God who claims them as his own. 10 clear laws, accompanied by dark clouds, thunder and lightning, and with the addition of a very loud trumpet blast. The people's response: they trembled in fear and asked Moses to no longer let God speak to them, or they would die. Probably because of the darkness and the noise, but perhaps also because the rules were so clear, so unambiguous, there was protest. Moses responds to the people, I think, in a most interesting way. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. God means this for your good. It is to give you a sense of awe and reverence and to keep you from sinning. Sinning, that intentional act of disobeying God's clear laws. The Latin expression for sin is incurvatus ense, the human will bent over on itself. It is clear from scripture, and we know in our very beings, that sin destroys the ability of human beings to live humanly. It destroys one's heart, soul, and mind. Yet despite this deep scar that threatens to obliterate all signs of God's image, human beings are drawn persistently by God back to their true nature. In this case, through instituting clear laws. Parker Palmer wrote, "Each of us arrives here with a nature, which means both limits and potentials. We can learn as much about our nature by running into our limits as by experiencing our potentials. Rules are limits, and they teach us about our humanity. These rules, set by God for this wandering group of pilgrims, were meant to set limits for the sake of their humanity." The writer of Deuteronomy offers commentary on these rules. "So now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Only to fear God, to walk in his ways, to love and serve him with all your heart and soul, to keep his commandments for your own well-being." Exodus 20 sets God's laws in the context of relationship with a reminder to the Israelites, "I am the God who brought you out of Egypt, out of dehumanizing slavery." The context for these limits of God's covenantal relationship with Israel, God is asking here for a mutual relationship, as a wedding vow would, to honor each other, to cling to each other. A covenant goes both ways. God, who created and intimately knows human beings, outlined a way for them to live in relationship with God and each other, a way of living they've been ordained for. We turn now to Psalm 19, the second of today's texts. Here the writer reflects on laws in a more positive light, not as behaviors to avoid. Laws aren't intended to only provide limits to keep us protected from God and each other. They also are intended to inspire engagement and expansiveness. They provide a window of potential. Listen to the language of what happens when commands are followed. The soul is refreshed. The naive are given wisdom. The heart is filled with joy. The eyes are flooded with light. In other words, the human is made more fully human, body, soul, and mind. The psalmist's context for his words about the law is also relationship. Without speech, without words, without even an audible voice, the message of God's glorious care reaches to the ends of the earth. The mystery of God's tangible love does not even need words. Look to the heavens, the psalmist tells us, and right perspective will come. The psalmist further picks up on Moses' words in Exodus 20 when he writes, "In these laws, your faithful people find instruction. There is great reward in keeping them." In keeping them, they provide both limits and potentials. And it's obvious from this psalm that human beings are unable to recognize their own willful bent without clear laws. "Who can detect one's own failings," he writes, "and who can uncover the misdeeds one doesn't even know about?" Despite all the potential benefits of following God's laws, there will always be this inclination for one's will to be turned inward upon oneself. No wonder the psalmist warns, "Keep your faithful one from presumption, so that my faults never control me." The NRSV translates this, keep back your servant from the insolent." Insolence or presumption is this turning inward, this arrogant, self-righteous knowing, this lack of respect for God's wisdom in setting limits for the sake of our humanity. Last Sunday, Henry, you spoke about the difficult sayings of Jesus and how important it is to do a benefit-cost analysis. Jesus did not water things down to make it easier to follow him. Instead of too gentle approach to sharing the gospel, you suggested we ask tough questions, such as, what sacrifices are you prepared to make for your faith? Can you set aside self-interest for the sake of another? In this third week of Lent, we are reminded of these same truths through examining the laws God gave the Israelites. Were they willing to make sacrifices, to follow those commandments given to them on that frightening day? Were they prepared to set aside self-interest for the sake of another? The Easter cycle, just like the Christmas cycle, begins with a season of preparation. Perhaps, like the Israelites in their moment of awareness, Ash Wednesday was a sobering reminder to us at the start of Lent that following God has a cost. Jan Richardson writes that Lent begins with ashes and invites us into a time of stripping away all that distracts us from recognizing the God who dwells at our core. Before we can experience Easter and the awakening of new life, there needs to be this reckoning with sacrifice and death. Lent is a season of self-denial and service. Little wonder then that Lent has never been widely accepted or consumerized in our society the way Christmas has been. Dora Duick wrote, "Having ashes imposed to mark repentance and awareness of being dust seems to be the strange activity of a strange minority." But perhaps not. We have had during this pandemic ashes imposed upon our foreheads. We have been stripped to our essentials. Never before in our current century has there been such a stark awareness globally of our mortality, with ashes signifying the immense grief, loss, and sacrifice that humanity has shared. So how do these passages of scripture on this third week of Lent help us? Jack King, an Anglican minister from whom I borrowed this sermon's title, wrote that Lent for him was training in humility and patience. He recognized that the 40 days of Lent were insufficient to free him from self-absorption. Similarly, we perhaps can recognize how the 365 days of pandemic restrictions haven't been enough to change us into humble, grateful human beings. We have perhaps, like him, had many goals for personal growth, but have struggled with the capacity for endurance. We have learned about our own humanness and those hidden faults that cause the unnatural bending of our souls inward instead of outward toward others. We have at times presumed to know more than others about what is best and been critical, short-tempered, and demanding. We have perhaps chafed with entitlement and wrestled with our own impatience. It has already felt like a long season, and we have wondered if we will ever get out from under it. A long obedience in a Lenten direction is what we are experiencing during this pandemic. In aiming for health and restoration, we have had to peel away the layers of life that it accumulated and examine them for what is most important. We have had to acknowledge our humanness. We are all weary with the limitations in this most unusual time. And oh, how we long to experience potentials again, to see the vistas opening up, to have a vision like the psalmist had where life was hopeful and enlightening. This psalm ends with a spiritual practice that can hold us in this long season, a prayer for obedience in heart and life. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The writers of Exodus and Psalm 19 encountered limitations, and they understood the need for a long obedience. Their words call out to us today in this Lenten season to recognize the long, loving arm of God, our Creator, the one who knows our humanness, under whose heavens we stand now, stripped and waiting. I end with a poem by Lucy Shaw from a recent book she completed at the age of 91. The absurdity of a world on its knees, behind its doors, whose fingers even may be traitors, and whose breath, created for living, may breed death. Its instruction, split up, stay apart. This is now the ultimate act of friendship. Like the moon of light at the bottom of the well, hope shines small. But if we stay, head over edge. We may watch the deep water shimmer with supple possibilities. At noon, a pale sun shines, telling us we may still live in the light. Amen.